Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Navy Director of Material Readiness and Logistics, Vice Admiral Dan McCarthy. Also joining us in our conversation is Bob Reeve. Admiral, you've alluded a few times to Sea Power 21. Can you explain this program and how it's impacting the Navy?
Sure. Back in, I think it was 2001, actually, the Chief of Naval Operations rolled out a vision for our Navy. That vision was structured around what I'll refer to as kind of a visual image, if you can paint a mind's eye picture here, that comprised three primary warfighting focus areas: sea strike, sea shield, and sea basing, together with an integration capability represented by leveraging information technology, what we called ForceNet, which is, if you envision it, a netted force delivering those three primary capabilities for the Navy, and enabled by focusing in three particular areas: one related to our manpower called Sea Warrior, one related to experimentation and warfighting capabilities called Sea Trial, and one related on business process improvement called Sea Enterprise. If you will, those enabling activities were intended to be the exploration and the future focus that would then provide the support, the skill sets of our people, the resources through increased business efficiency that would support delivery of these future-focused warfighting capabilities. So Sea Strike, as you might imagine, is focused on our ability of our Navy to provide forward combat operations, both independently when called for, but also in support of joint capabilities when partnered with the joint force. Sea Shield represents our ability to reach out and protect both our forces and any joint forces within which we are operating in partnership. And sea basing is a future contribution that leverages today's Navy capability to operate from the sea, but takes it to a new level that would enable us to launch combat forces entirely from a sea-based operation, not a big platform, if you will. You need to think of it as a collection of ships through which we would deliver both combat forces and then the logistics support that would sustain and support the ongoing operations of those combat forces until such time that a land-based footprint would be established. So those are the primary focuses of that vision.
In addition to your current role, Admiral, you're also the lead sponsor of the Navy's business transformation initiative called Sea Enterprise. Can you tell us a little bit about this and how the Navy is changing from a business perspective?
Well, it's an interesting evolution. In conjunction with the Sea Power 21 initiative, then CNO Admiral Vern Clark, who, interestingly enough, was the first time our Navy has ever had a CNO with a business degree, came in and said, or realized, that if we were going to be effective in the future, our ability to deliver the nation's requirements for its Navy demanded that we get more efficient to help resource our own operations and provide for the investments required to recapitalize our Navy. So he began a focus on business process and efficiency within our Navy that I would say created what we would refer to as a sea change in the attitude of our senior leadership, that focused not on what we sometimes refer to as a culture of consumption, meaning I have the money and I spend it every year, to a culture that I would consider more characteristic of the private sector in terms of we have a responsibility to continually seek opportunities for improvement in our business processes and practices that drive out cost and then enable us to reinvest that support that the taxpayers provide us into future capabilities for our Navy. Sea Enterprise is the focus initiative through which we are conducting that effort. Recently, we have adopted, if you will, what I'll refer to as a Navy-wide enterprise framework that restructures our thinking around the primary products of the Navy, which is delivering combat capability to combatant commanders that then employ that capability. But thought in that process, what it does is take our individual commanders from thinking of themselves as individual entities, that whatever money they get, they then spend, into aligning them into product lines. That in essence says, okay, we deliver undersea combat capability, we deliver air combat capability, we deliver surface combat capability. We now deliver Navy expeditionary combat capability through the command I mentioned earlier, and we deliver network warfare capability, the ForceNet component of the Sea Power 21 vision we talked about earlier. So through those product lines, then, our various Navy commands see themselves as either the supported, if they own one of those product lines, or a supporting component that enables that delivery of product to our combatant commanders. So you could think of us as visualizing ourselves in a customer-supplier relationships within the Navy. Those relationships then create accountability to those warfighting providers. That is a totally different framework within which to operate, which would not seem very foreign in the business world and the private sector. But to the Navy, it's a mindset change in how we think about how we operate. That is causing accountability to be created that never existed before. In turn, it is fostering the kind of research, dialogue, and discussions about what is the cost of what you're contributing. How are you performing that? Is that the best way to perform it? And is that support really necessary to delivering the combat capability in any one of our product lines? That's the essence of Sea Enterprise. Place that in the context of a now aggressively educated senior leadership in terms of business practices, the executive business course I mentioned briefly earlier, a governance structure being established within the Navy now to oversee the Navy from a business perspective. And you have an entirely different framework for operating. And that's what's happening within the Navy now, the transformation to this new enterprise construct of the way we do business.
Admiral, you mentioned earlier that you have a group focused on innovation within your director. And innovation playing a strong role in guiding these transformation efforts. How do you foster innovation in Sea Enterprise and in improving Navy logistics?
I guess I'd summarize it through a series of techniques, if you will. Clearly, an element of that is having a common vision. It is having an engaged leadership, not just at the senior level, although as I think everyone would tell you, absent that, you're not going to get very far in any kind of transformation initiative, but also the ability to penetrate down through the various levels of leadership. Third is this governance structure that I mentioned that enables you to focus collectively on where the Navy is headed. Fourth is meaningful metrics that enable you through the organization to not only monitor but incentivize ideas to flow. And then lastly is a structure that allows the ideas to bubble up. It's not a top-down effort. It's more effectively a bottom-up effort. The folks that are closest to the processes and procedures invariably have the best insights on how to improve them. So the Navy has put into place mechanisms locally and globally that enable us to bubble those ideas out from the workforce as a whole. Some more mature than others. Obviously, it's the combination of those things I mentioned working together that most create a climate in which people feel comfortable in identifying ideas and have a degree of confidence that if they do, those ideas will be received in a positive manner and seriously considered. In some areas, I think we're being very effective in that. Probably our most mature enterprise of the product lines I mentioned earlier is what we call the Naval Aviation Enterprise. It very much has penetrated organizations. I had a recent visit to one of our aircraft carriers in which our second-class petty officers that were what we call work center supervisors were telling me about the new ideas they'd developed and were surfacing within the Naval Aviation Enterprise to improve processes ultimately across the enterprise. Seeing that kind of activity is exciting. You know you're starting to get success. And as I say, across all Navy programs, our effectiveness in getting those ideas up varies, but the message is coming down through the leadership structure, so we are constantly improving our ability to do so.
Amidst the challenges of providing logistics to the joint forces in the war theater, the Navy must operate in an increasingly austere fiscal environment. Rising cost of war operations, cost of new weapon systems. Navy leaders are stressing, as you mentioned, efficiency in every aspect of the Navy. How does this environment change the expectation the Navy has for its suppliers?
It's interesting. We in the Navy are becoming much more dependent on the commercial sector. The primary mechanisms, there's several that have caused this, what I would consider continuing increased dependence. One is through a mechanism called performance-based logistics arrangements, where, in particularly focused in the logistics area, where we have traditionally had internal capabilities, for example, to buy inventories, manage those inventories internally, and therefore become personally responsible for the support to our forces. We continue to migrate more and more of that support to direct private sector support through this mechanism called performance-based logistics arrangements that says instead of mandating exactly what is going to be supplied when and then inventory it ourselves, we literally become totally dependent on private sector inventories, and we establish a performance agreement on response times and quality and so forth and cost, obviously. Today, approximately $1 billion of our operation is dependent on directly on performance-based logistics agreements. That continues to grow, and I expect it will continue to do so. Another mechanism used is we have a process that looks functionally within the Navy at whether or not a particular function should be performed by government workforce or by private sector workforce. It's something called A76, which is a number associated with an Office of Management and Budget circular that identified this this process that we use. That, in addition to the PBL's performance-based logistics agreements that I mentioned, causes us to look functionally at areas that we can outsource, if you will, to industry. That also is another mechanism that continues to expand our dependence on industry. And the net result of that is of our non-uniformed workforce, over half is directly supported from contractor support. So a significant portion of our workforce is now contractor focused. Those two, together with what I would consider a continuing evolving trend to move our uniformed members more into operational support and less into what I'll use the term traditional logistics support arrangements, causes us to become increasingly supported by the private sector. That in turn causes us to say we need to remain focused on the quality and support provided, as well as dependent upon the private sector's engagement to help us in this effort to drive down our cost. And that's a principal focus area right now for us, not only in what we acquire, but also in the support we receive from the private sector.
What does the future hold for the Navy? We will ask Director of Material Readiness and Logistics, Vice Admiral Dan McCarthy, to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.